On to the fifth case this afternoon, United States against McKibbins. Mr. McGowan.
May it please the court. Counsel. My name is Andrew McGowan. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. And I represent the appellant in this case, Mr. Patrick McKibbins. Mr. McKibbins appeals the introduction of four images of pornography and multiple images of profile pictures, is what they're called, at trial. Before these images should have been allowed in, the district court should have performed the 403 balancing test, comparing the prejudice, the unfair prejudice, with the probative value. In this case, the district court did not perform that analysis. The government's main argument in this case is that if there was an evidence, it was harmless.
Well, and I wondered about that, Mr. McGowan. In light of what seems to be this never-ending series of cases in this area, these profile pictures, as I understand it, are just fairly innocuous pictures. It's just, you know, the headshots or whatever of these young women. And so, you know, maybe it's a little bit creepy because he has so many young women that he's communicating. But these are not pornographic pictures. They're not abusive pictures. And so I just wonder, even if the district court should have done more, and even if we agreed that there's a technical error, why isn't it harmless? What's the negative impact of all these pictures?
Certainly. And I do recognize the difference between the profile pictures and the pornography. But the way the government used these pictures is what concerns me. And I will argue about the harmlessness in particular, but I would like to point out that when we think about limiting instructions, we tend to think about limiting instructions limiting what the jury considers. That's what their instruction is for. But they also limit what the attorneys argue. And in this case, the government had absolutely no limit on the use of all of these pictures. And so, for instance, the pornography, they specifically used it to try to show that he intended to have sex with this Ashley.
But that was the four pictures, though. There wasn't too much.
Right, exactly. In terms of number, they weren't. But the actual pictures themselves are what I'm concerned about. It's the effect on the jury of looking at these pictures and going, well, you know, this guy's bad. And that's exactly what this 403 balancing test is supposed to at least protect against a little bit. Now, the government
You're talking about the, as she describes, innocuous pictures, or are you talking about the four?
I'm talking about the four pornographic pictures for that purpose.
The night before.
Yeah.
Those photos of children or young?
They were dated
adults
the night before, and they were of probably younger women. I glanced at them, and the government argued that because they said TN or teen in them, that they were probably child pornography. Of course, there are 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds. The suggestion that it's child pornography made the effect of these pictures in this trial worse. But my concern is about the government's use of all of these pictures to create,
including the 200 pal talk pictures.
Right, exactly. To infer that this was not an isolated incident. The evidence they had against him for this Ashley girl was not an isolated incident. There are all these 200 other women that he has profiled pictures for, just like with Ashley, and who knows what else he's been doing with them.
But why does the isolated incident business make a difference? I mean, this is a case where there are a number of chats, and he does actually get into his car in Milwaukee and drive down to Illinois. I mean, it's all the things that sometimes we don't see in these cases.
Exactly. And the harmless.
He committed this crime, didn't he?
Your Honor, the argument that the evidence in this case, any problem is harmless, is rebutted, in fact, by the government's argument in the district court, where they claimed it was essential to the jury's understanding of the circumstances surrounding the charged crimes, including the pattern, motive, and desire to entice, engage in inappropriate conduct with underage females. That's what they said to the district court judge in their pleading. Also, the district court judge, after hearing the evidence at trial, suggested that he thought that closing argument would be very important in this case, which is an indication to me that the district court was not quite as impressed with the government's evidence as you might first think by looking at it. I mean, they got him in Chicago. I mean, however.
What about the obstruction charge?
The obstruction charge is kind of interesting. The government is conceding that it's not a harmless error in the obstruction charge.
Right, but he does try to destroy the, well, you know, he's on the phone, you know, being taped. Somebody needs to tell him, you know, that they tape at jails.
Your Honor, I understand.
You know, he's talking to his mother. He's talking to everybody, saying, sneak into the room this way. Get rid of this stuff. No telling.
The evidence against him for the obstruction is, to my mind, pretty clear. On the other hand, these pictures were very prejudicial. And
that's what he wants to destroy. I mean, so the district judge keeps saying, I mean, I realize, you know, in the meantime, this court has complicated matters with inextricably intertwined or not, but the district court keeps saying the computer images are relevant, but that's why he's trying to get rid of the computer, they're going to come in for that.
Well, and that's exactly what the district court entered them in for, and that's where the balancing test comes in. You don't have to have everything that was on those computers to prove the obstruction. In fact, materiality is not necessary. And the government argues that they needed it to prove the corrupt portion of it. But the corrupt portion of it simply goes to the intent, whether he's doing it for a legitimate reason or for a non-legitimate reason.
But what about Old Chief? I mean, isn't the government allowed, you know, to show that he really has some good reason to try to get rid of the computer, which is to thwart this prosecution?
Well, actually, there was unobjected to evidence on the computer, another profile image of Ashley, and the directions to the park are all on those computers. So to the extent they needed something to show that he was trying to hide something about this case, that was unobjected to, and there wouldn't have been any problem with that.
But at the time he has these phone conversations from the jail, there could have been a superseding indictment about possession of, I mean, of course, who's going to indict him for possessing all these profile pictures? But I guess you've got the four pornographic pictures. He seems scared about something.
There could have been, except that the government established that they couldn't prove any of those pictures were of underage. There was a concession about some of the profile percentage being of women underneath the age of 18. But, you know, when you look at the evidence of the chats, for instance, there are graphic, disgusting conversations, but they tend to end with, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be talking like this. There are also no requests for even suggested pictures. To my mind, that suggests that maybe he is actually just interested in these conversations. Words do have effect on people.
And then let's talk about this limiting instruction, because it was mentioned in the pretrial conference when the court said that this evidence was going to come in, and then nobody requested a limiting instruction. That's problematic for you, isn't it?
It is.
Because you're saying the government was able to use it for whatever purpose, but there was no request by the defense to have it for a limiting purpose.
Actually, defense counsel did mention it at the conference, but
right,
it's not clear if
right.
He's talking about limiting instruction for the pictures or for, I think it was the actual transcripts of either the telephone calls or the
but, I mean, at least counsel was aware there is such a device as a limiting instruction.
He is, and so is the government.
Right, and the government.
The government
yeah.
particularly put in their motion that a limiting instruction would be
mm-hmm.
appropriate.
And the judge sounds very open to it. He says, remind me, mm-hmm. or words to that effect, and it never happened.
That's true. And this was one of the first pretrial conferences. This was the first one where they talked about these images. And these images keep coming up over mm-hmm. the next final pretrial conferences. You know, I'd also like to mention that there were no specific plans. I mean, most of these cases involve, oh, we're going to go to the hotel, or, you know, we'll go to your house, the parents going to be gone. Didn't have any of that. There was a strange reluctance on the day that this meeting is supposed to occur. The agent contacts him for the first time, and he doesn't contact him, the agent, back for like 3 or 4 hours. He's late. Mother is supposed to be coming back within a half hour, an hour. Anyway, I'd like to reserve what little I have for rebuttal. Thank you.
Fine, you'll have a minute. Mr. Zuer.
May it please the court, Paul Zuer for the United States. The district court did not abuse its discretion. What it introduced admitted the four pictures of suspected child pornography and the 200 or so non-pornographic images of what appeared to be young women.
I have to say, Mr. Zura, the government really invites these appeals when you want like 200 pictures. It's just so over the top for a case like this, where you have the man traveling from Milwaukee. You've got the tapes, you've got the obstruction charge with him pretty much saying, I'm obstructing justice. I mean, it just invites problems when you just put all this other stuff in.
I understand your concern, Your Honor. And had this been just an enticement and travel charge, I think we'd have a different case. But
Judge sure thought you'd have a different case. He's pretty clear, I think, that he's letting this stuff in. On the obstruction
count. The obstruction count. That's exactly right, Your Honor. And for the obstruction count, we do have the tapes, but I think there's a far cry, and this is, I think, Your Honor's point on mentioning Old Chief, there's a far cry from having some evidence, and the tapes were some evidence of the obstruction, and having sufficient evidence for the government to meet its considerable hurdle to prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt.
Why couldn't you just have sampled? You could have said, profile pictures like the following four.
Actually, Your Honor, so the entire book of images were admitted in the case, and I believe they did go back to the jury, but during the course of trial testimony, the government did not show up on the screen each and every profile picture.
But the book went back to the jury room. What Judge Wood is suggesting is the agent testifies there were 200 images there. Here's a sample of 20. The 20 go back, not the 200. That's what she's suggesting.
Right.
You still get the testimony, 200. You have them dead bang. That's the point, that you could have just said, the agent could have said there were 200. Here's a sample of the types. I went through, I looked at the photos. The defense is not going to object to that the agent cut the group down to 20 and made them representative of the photos that were there. And that would have been it.
Actually, Your Honor.
And if they did object, then obviously you'd have to put all 200 in.
And actually, Your Honor, there is an objection. The defense did object.
To the 200?
To the 200. Not only to the 200, but to the cutting down. Exhibit 58, which is has been supplemented with by the defense counsel, and it's going to be part of the record on appeal, is a sample of the 200 non-pornographic profile pictures that were introduced. And the defendant actually lodged an objection, arguing...
How many were in the sample?
It was a one-page shot, and I believe it was somewhere between 60 and 100 images. So not 200, but it is... And it's not 20, but it is a cutting back of the images for precisely this point.
It's not enough to make a difference. I mean, you inundate the jury with this stuff, and the jury is going to think this guy's a real creep. He does nothing but, of course, there was a whole issue about these profile pictures just automatically getting stored in the temporary cache on the computers as well, but I assume he had an opportunity to argue that.
And he did have an opportunity not only to argue but to cross-examine the government's forensics expert, the expert through whom these images were introduced.
Now, what about this limiting instruction? I mean, it came up during the pretrial conference. It seems to me the judge would have been open. They were admitted for limited purposes. Why didn't the government ask for a limitation on the instruction? And then the defense can say, we don't want it, we think it highlights it, don't include it, and, then it becomes the defense decision.
You're right, Your Honor. Had there been a limiting instruction in this case, I think we'd have a somewhat easier case in front of us.
We'd have a much easier case.
But that doesn't mean that the lack of a limiting instruction necessitates reversal by this court.
I'm aware of that. This is another thing that, when the government knows that something would make a better record, and when the government really has nothing to lose, I realize you have to make strategy choices. But, you have a much cleaner record when you know you're admitting it for a limited purpose. Why not just ask for a limiting instruction if the judge forgets? Trial judges are very busy, and the judge remembered it during that pretrial conference but forgot at trial.
It might be helpful to go back through the instances in which a limiting instruction was, the possibility of one was raised chronologically. As defense counsel pointed out, the government itself made what I think is a fairly generic statement about the benefits of a limiting instruction in the government's initial motion in limine, which was filed sometime in September. The trial was the following January. The defense had an opportunity to discuss the limiting instruction in its reply, its response papers to the motion in limine. If it does at all, it's very hard to find it in that response. The district court does mention in the October 8th conference a limiting instruction, but as defense counsel pointed out, as we point out in the papers, it's very unclear what that instruction was actually meant for. The government has always believed that the district court was talking about emails and chats coming in from the undercover agent when the district court mentioned the limiting instruction. So at that point, it was unclear to the government, or at least the record doesn't show that show otherwise, that a limiting instruction actually would have been helpful. The defense counsel never raised it. This isn't the sort of situation like this court faced in Owens, where the defense counsel had raised with the government the necessity of a limiting instruction, and the government, in fact, took it upon itself to draft a limiting instruction. And only at the stage that the case got to testimony did the district court forget and no one actually request a limiting instruction. A limiting instruction never really was discussed after that October 8th conference. And again, the government wasn't even keyed into the idea that a limiting instruction at that conference was talking about these images. And so to say at this point that the burden is on the government would really require this court to step away from its long line of cases saying that the burden to request.
I'm not suggesting that we step away. I'm just saying from a practical standpoint, if they're like the four photos that came in, they came in for a limited purpose, right? Or did they just generally came in?
No. It's the government's position that not only the four pornographic photos, but all the photos came in for a very limited purpose. This case.
Right, and it came in on that count.
On the obstruction.
So you knew you were only putting it in on obstruction. That's my point. It was only admitted as to obstruction. Are you saying that now?
No. It wasn't only as to obstruction. So all of the photos came in for obstruction, correct?
Okay.
The four pornographic photos came in for obstruction and for intent to have sex with a minor for purposes of the enticement charge and the travel charge. And then, again, all the photos, especially the profile photos in this case, helped the government prove the defendant's belief that Ashley was, in fact, 15 years old. And that's a point that the government made in its closing argument. The reason why this is relevant, why the profile pictures are relevant to this point, is that the picture of Ashley was found among all these other profile pictures, both on the defendant's computer and on that Catwoman CD. So the defendant believed that Ashley looked like all these other young women in the profile pictures he was collecting. From that, and this is the government's argument at closing, from that the jury could infer, the jury could decide between that evidence and the continuous chats from Ashley saying that she's 15, that she was telling the truth.
So then there was no limited purpose for the photos?
No, there were three limited purposes for the photos. So what the photos weren't used for, and this is what the defense suggests in his briefs, is propensity. They weren't used for purposes of saying that because he had photos, he's a bad guy, and so the jury, must assume that he's a bad guy and is guilty of what the government is charging him with. And
of course, nobody ever tells the jury that.
Right.
So.
Well, the government made very clear arguments.
But there was no instruction to the jury to use the evidence. That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point.
And
I understand the defense didn't ask for it, and in the first instance, it's the defense to do it. And no, we can't adopt a rule that says you're forced to do it. But just from a practical standpoint and from a fairness standpoint and from an equity sort of standpoint, you have a much cleaner record, and it's a much fairer trial, and then it doesn't even become an issue. That's all.
Oh, and certainly, again, from a practical standpoint, had an instruction been given, this is a very different case.
Right.
I just want to emphasize that the jury wasn't considering these photos in a vacuum. It was guided by the government's statements during closing argument about how those photos were to be used.
Well, I understand, but it's and different so, coming from the government's mouth versus
true,
coming from the court.
That's certainly true, Your Honor.
Okay.
So for these reasons, we ask that this court affirm the judgment of the district court.
Fine. Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. McGowan?
Not unless the court has any questions.
No, thank you. We appreciate your help. Thanks also to the government. And we will move on to our last.